This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, broadcasting live from the Phoenix Convention Center as we're getting set for the Final Four coming your way Saturday evening. My next guest, his team did make the NCAA tournament this past year. He's now the former Long Beach State head coach and also was at Minnesota. You remember his great run back in 1999 at Gonzaga, and that's Coach Dan Munson. Coach, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, that's a lot of former, though. You know, former Gonzaga, former Minnesota, former Long Beach. So, but I'm here, still upright and going at it. So
this one was the most bizarre, and it's like the awkward conversation. I'm sure 9,000 people have asked you about it, but you basically get relieved of your duties, I guess, is the proper way of saying it. But you're still coaching the team, and your team goes on a run to the NCAA tournament. You've been around a lot in this sport. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was odd. You know, it wasn't. We kind of limped in at the end of the year. We'd had a good year. I mean, we beat Michigan on the road. We beat USC on the road. We beat DePaul on the road. You know, nobody other team in the country had a Pac-12 road win, a Big Ten, and a Big East win. And then, you know, we were second in the league, got some injuries, and kind of limped in at the end. So I actually went called the AD and asked about, you know, my contract was up, and after the tournament, you know, if we didn't win the tournament, maybe resigning and getting a new voice. So it wasn't just out of the blue, but it was out of the blue that it happened that day, you know, because there's no way I was going to resign that day with a week left in the season, because, you know, at a mid-major, that week means everything, and that's what you instill in your team, that we're going to fight till the end, and we win this tournament, and it changes your whole season. And so it went from one of the worst days professionally that I've had in my career, but to one of the best days personally, because to go into that locker room and see my team, you know, it's like a parent. You know, you're always pushing them, you're always disciplining them, you're always holding them accountable. You don't really know if they love you until they can show you, and once in a while the kids will show you, and you're like, okay, this is really cool, this is why I'm a parent. The same with a coach, you know, to see the love in that room for guys that to actually tell you that, you know, 100 times that week when we got together. It was a special week that I wouldn't have traded for any job. And actually, I guess I did that.
We know your locker room, like you said, is the most important part.
Yeah.
But then you guys get to the tournament, and so many coaches speak out about what happened. I know you don't want to be like the coach that gets all the sympathy. So was that some of that praise from the other coaches, even though it was nice, was a little bit awkward?
A little bit, you know. I mean, but most of that was Mark Few and Tommy Lloyd, and that's family. I mean, we started at Gonzaga together. You know, we're in the business because of each other. You know, and family's supposed to be upset. You know, they're supposed to talk irrational when one of their loved ones is having adversity. And I mean, my wife is you know, the mama bear of them all. I mean, she's ready to, you know, put her hands on anybody right now. So you know, but that's how people protect each other. And this is a very tough business. It's a great business, and we're all really privileged to be in it, but I think it's, you know, we all know how difficult of jobs they are, and so, you know, there's a lot of compassion within the industry.
Like you were saying, there were questions about your future before the news did come on down, but when you're getting ready for the NCAA tournament and your AD comes out and basically says, oh yeah, we did this in mind to really get this run and elicit this run and inspire this team, how'd you kind of react to that? Because it's almost like saying, oh, I knew this was going to happen, and I just didn't really buy it when I heard those comments.
Well, I think we all, you know, have an opinion. You know, we all, you know, the kids made it happen. There wasn't an AD, it wasn't me. The kids made that run happen. I just was concerned about them, because at the NCAA tournament, they're very strict on your timelines, and you can't get on the court until there's exactly 1 hour before the game. So you get there early to make sure that you get your whole hour. So we got there about an hour and a half before the game. And so the kids had about 30 minutes to just sit in the locker room. So as kids will do, they're on their phones. and that story broke, and it was just unfortunate. So, you know, if it inspired him the week before, that's awesome, but it surely distracted him, you know, because I didn't know what was going on, because I'm not on my phone, and they get emotional and upset, and I'm like, what's going on? They tell me, I'm like, we're going to enjoy the most important game of our life right now. We're not going to get worried about who gets credit for it or what we're doing, and so we just tried to move past it. But the biggest thing was unfortunate, the timing of it for our players to get it right before the game.
Coach Dan Munson here with us. Back in 1999, because you see NC State, they're here as an 11 seed. You guys got to the Elite Eight as a 10 seed. Now, you guys had a much better regular season record in 99 than what NC State did have. You always have confidence in your team, but some years, you know, maybe your team's not capable of going to a level that they end up doing. When in 99, when you're going through that run, did you kind of realize, okay, this is something really special that's humming at Gonzaga?
Well, I always say that one of my biggest regrets of my career is the run in 99, and people are like, what? And I said, obviously it was probably the pinnacle of my career, and it happened too early that I didn't appreciate it. Like that's what this last 2 weeks. It's so hard to get here that I was not going to, you know, worry about my job. I was going to enjoy the run with these players and appreciate the journey and the blood and sweat and tears that it takes to get to here. Because, you know, in 99, I didn't really realize that. That's like you're saying today about everybody and the story of Dan Munson and the dismissal and the run and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't realize that it's national until you get to something like this today. And you're going around to every newscast in the country. And it just then, I didn't really realize it. The thing I remember about 1999 is, you know, there wasn't the internet or the cell phones or the national. And so you didn't realize you're in your own bubble as a team. And those kids were just like this year, we're just enjoying our time together. And we get more free meals and more, you know, free hotel rooms. And we're just thinking it's great. And then when we finally lost to UConn in the Elite Eight game, and we get land back in Spokane, it was an unseasonably like 80 degree day, and I'll just never forget hitting campus, and people were in the trees, and people were lined the streets, and the bus couldn't even get to the back to the Martin Center because there were so many people. And I'm like, all these people actually watched us, you know. I guess you don't realize what the power of, you know, national TV does to a run like that. But we didn't realize, we just were out there playing together, and that's kind of how the last couple weeks have been with me and my team.
Do you feel like you've coached your last game?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to just stay married right now, because being at home right now is not, you know, she's not that fired up about seeing me, you know.
You don't want your wife to enter the transfer portal, right?
Yeah, so you know, I think I got to do something. You know, I don't think I'm ready to just hang on the couch right now, but it's to say I'm going to coach my last game. I don't control all that, you know. I mean, it's not like these jobs are just, they're knocking at the door of a guy that, you know, they love coaches that went to the tournament, but they don't really like guys that got fired. So what my value is, I don't think anybody really knows right now.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. Continued success.
Great. Thanks for having me.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.